Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
If there was one big thing, you know, I would give you a great answer. You know, I'm optimistic about the future of our offense against left-handed pitching. You know, Mountie's gotten going. He's a big part of that. Ramon's gotten going. He's a big part of that. We got T.O. back in the lineup. As the lineup is right now with some guys, you know, starting to pick it up, it's a little bit more balanced. We need to get on base more. You know, we're getting into three ball counts and we're giving walks away. We're getting deep into counts and we're not putting competitive balls in play. And ultimately, that's my responsibility to make sure that we do. It's a difficult position to be in as a hitting coach because you can look at the underlying stuff and, you know, you see that it should be better. But at the end of the day, results are results, and the scoreboard tells a different story. You know, the beautiful thing about Rutch is I think he understands that very well, and he understands that more than you might expect a player to. So, you know, the great thing about being Adley Rutschman's hitting coach is that he shows up every single day with the mindset that, like, hey, I'm going to get this right.
Cody Ashe, Orioles hitting coach, a couple of days ago in Anaheim, met with the media before the game against the Angels. The Orioles won, and Adley had a couple of knocks, including a ribby, had a home run taken away from him, as a matter of fact. But the struggles, and what I liked there was, scoreboard don't lie. When you're sitting in your seat, and they put the averages up on the scoreboard, his is bad. Not great. It doesn't say expected batting average. It doesn't talk about bad luck situations. It talks about what has happened in reality. And for Adley Rutschman, and we've been kind of giving him the business because he hadn't been that good. And based on his status and the expectations for him to help this team win ball games, he's been underachieving and doing it in a big way. And Cody Ashe understands. The reality of the situation is the results. Nolan, get in here. Also mentioned that Rutschman understands it too. And I think that's something that we need to keep mind of. We can sit here and bitch, complain, criticize, rag on. You don't think they realize what's going on? You don't think Adley Rutschman realizes that he's hitting .150 against lefties this year? And he was bad against lefties last year when he wasn't bad against them 2 years ago. You don't think they know what the problems are? It's like in all sports. You don't think Mike Elias realizes that his team's not good? They're underachieving? He went on a whole like media tour like he was lobbying for the Academy Award. He did every show but Barbara Walters and ours. Talking about the problems of the team. He knows what the issues are, and he's got a lot to do with it. Cody Ashe, you just heard him say, we're giving away a lot of up at walks. What do you think? He's telling them to be aggressive in the plate? There's a plan. Now, is it analytically driven or old school driven or a mix of both? They know their jobs. He knows his job. He just admitted we give away walks, and they were so good at that a couple of years ago, but they became so heavy, well, home run heavy driven, which they had a lot of success with for 3 months last year, that maybe they lost sight of that. And the runners with scoring position debacle, that's another discussion. Maybe that's got a lot to do with it as well. I mean, you got a guy on second or third, less than two outs, and you're up 3-1 in the count, usually a hitter's pitch. I mean, you don't have to swing. Yeah, you want that ribby. Looks good on the back of the baseball card. Looks good on the scoreboard. Hey, first and third, still one out. Maybe the meat of lineup's coming up. So he took blame for it. And the one thing we can say, whether you want to fire people or not, Hyde said, hey, I'm responsible. Elias has basically admitted to anyone who sticks a mic in front of his face, he is responsible. And Cody Ashe, the offense stinks. Now, if I'm the pitching coach, I'd be like, what the hell you want from me? You know what I mean? Anyway, what am I supposed to do with all this nonsense? But Nolan, we know that they know that I know that you know what the problems are. That's why they sit here 39 games into the season, 7-8 games out of first, because the Yankees won last night, and in last place in the American League East with a run differential that's one of the worst in baseball.
Right, yeah, words are ultimately meaningless. As you said, it's the results on the field that we're all clamoring for, but the only counter question I would have here with, you know, all right, we changed a lot of hitting coaches in recent years. You're asking yourself, well, at what point is it going to stick? At what point is it just the players? You know, where's the information coming from? What kind of information is it? But, I mean, Cody Ashe, sure, he took over as hitting coach this year, but he's been in the organization since 2023.
Yeah, down on the farm.
So if you're changing your coaches, but they're all coming from the same tree, so to speak, or the same organization, are you really getting a different perspective? Because to me, what was he in 2023? Says here, upper level hitting coordinator.
So, the titles are like upper level.
But
he's on the fourth floor. The other guy's on the first floor. You know what I mean?
He was here when they were no good last year.
Sure.
So I don't understand. You're not seeking any difference in opinion outside the organization. You're trying to change things up, get a balance between analytics and a little more, I don't know, old school, for lack of a better term. Whatever it is, I mean, you can change all the coaches all you want, but if you're just shuffling around the organization, you're not really changing anything.
My question would be with Holiday. His dad says, hey, you know, you're not doing this, do this, and he starts hitting better. You know, and I think listening to Brett Boone the other day, he was kind of saying the same thing. You got to, you know, the person that knows your swing the most, like his dad would call him up and say, hey, your hands are wrong. You know, these hitting coaches, do they know the hitters well enough to know that, hey, this is from what you're doing. Hey, that you shouldn't be doing that, Jackson. I mean, your hands are too high, your hands are too low, you know, or maybe he believes dad and he doesn't believe the hitting coach. That may be too.
That could be another problem altogether. But as we all know, not every player on the team's dad was a former Major League Baseball player. You know what I mean? So you do have to defer to the experts in the room, which are the hitting coaches. But this has been pitching coaches too. It has been kind of this revolving door. And it's an organizational-wide philosophy. Like when Buck was the manager, hey, Delmarva might have been doing something different than Bowie and doing something different than Norfolk. And then when Buck gets him in Baltimore, well, this is how we do it here. Well, that's not what they were telling me down in Norfolk. And I think that is a cool thing, what Elias has instituted. What you're doing here is what you're going to be doing in Baltimore. This is an organizational-wide philosophy. But you do have to understand the player. And yes, not everyone can acquiesce to launch angles. Maybe one dude's coming out of the college, high school ranks who you drafted, had success at the minor league level, who's used to protecting the plate when he's down 0-2 in the count, not trying to hit the ball 500 feet because, you know, you're all about exit velo and all of this nonsense. What we have seen is an Orioles team that since July of last year has not been good offensively. They were good in 22, second half, good in 23, especially with runners in scoring position when they won 101 games. And they did so well last year, they still finished in the top three or four in home runs and runs produced. So they were doing something right. Eventually, it falls on the players to execute your job. And you can sit here and blame launch angles and toe taps and all this. Sooner or later, Jackson Holliday's been hitting a baseball since he's probably been able to walk. Same with Gunnar Henderson, Adley Rutschman, Colton Cowser, whomever. Sooner or later, you got to do your job. And they're just not getting the job done.
Let me interject this for a second, Bob. Is, you know, knowing kind of players and stuff, that confidence is a big, and belief in the coach. All right. If everybody on the team is struggling, you know, what kind of confidence do you have in that hitting coach to go to him because nobody's getting fixed? You know, I mean, that's...
But they've been with Ashe before, as Nolan said. Mm-hmm. So they have a relationship with him. Confidence has a lot to do with your own self-confidence.
I know, but the thing is, you know, if a player is getting better, You know, you see yourself getting better from what the guy's telling you. You'll do whatever he tells you. If you're not having success doing what he tells you, you're not going to buy into what he... That's maybe why Jackson's going, hey, Dad, what are you saying?
Well, he looked at game film himself, and they tried to toe-tap him all of this stuff. I mean, I think that's more of an outlier. That kid was the number one draft pick for a reason. But to have a total team malaise, I think it's way more than just blaming Cody Ashe, who's 3 months on the job.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
It's I mean, at some point it's in time, been, and Vinny, you should know this, because you felt the wrath of getting cundiffed. The players have to do their jobs instead of just keep blaming it on somebody else.
I think the thing I would question is, all right, a lot of these guys, especially the big name players on this team, Henderson, Rutschman, you know, when they came up, I mean, we talk about it all the time. Did they have any extended failure in their career? I mean, they just cruised through T-ball, through high school, through college. They were the best thing.
Wiffle ball.
Right, all of that. And you face some form of adversity. Are these the proper coaches, or are they giving the proper message to actually get a guy out of a slump for the first time in his life? I mean, it's foreign territory. I mean, when was the last time a Gunnar Henderson or Adley Rutschman, more specifically, because he's had the extended slump, has dealt with something like this and had to receive tough love coaching, so to speak? Like, hey, you're stinking it up. You got to change this. You got to change that. Well, he's like, this is the way I've been standing in the box my whole life.
Player knows he's stinking. I mean, he's putting more pressure on himself than any
hitting.
That's what
we just said. And at some point in time, they self-reflect. I mean, I've done so well with this style of play that they might resist change.
Could be. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hey, Cedric Mullins in the throes of a, what now, 3-for-38. He was great in April. Cody Ashe bleeped him up in May. You know, the pitchers try, too.
Yeah. The other thing, Bob, could be is, you know, I know how players, they know more, they know quicker than anybody whether a coach is good, whether a player is good. You ask at the first mini camp practice, you ask the veterans, will this guy help us? You know, I think it's same with coaches. And I'm sure like when Joe D came, you know, when Joe D passed, Warhop comes in. What do you guys think? You know, and that could be, I mean, with the coach, you know, they don't believe because they talk, the players talk amongst each other.
So we're firing Cody Ashe. Is that what we're doing today? Is he going with high?
Well, he's not on a – his seat is not cool. We'll say that.
No. You got to blame somebody. You know, not the players not executing their job ahead 3-1 in the count.
Well, like Lou Holtz always used to say, I'd let all my assistants – you know, if your players are playing well, I'm not going to bother you. But if your group is not doing well, I'm going to be heavily involved.
Well, let's say accentuate the positive, shall we?
Yes, let's do.
They just – took 2 out of 3 from the Angels.
They still have a losing record.
Yeah, well, Vinny, I'm very much, I watch every game. I don't know if they're playing today.
No.
That's an issue.
But I don't know if they play all week.
Minnesota's coming to town. Winners of 8 in a row. We'll get into that as the show rolls on. NFL schedule leakage starting to come out. Nothing with the Ravens yet. But I'm going to surmise, since Kansas City is playing again on Christmas, that could be the Ravens' fate again. But this time, hosting a Christmas Day game, whether it's 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock, because Kansas City is hosting Denver on Christmas night, and the NBA draft lottery is not fixed. Nope, not at all. Dallas, 1.8% gets first pick. We'll see how it goes. But weather forecast for today into tomorrow, and we're not trying to discourage people from going downtown. Maybe we're just trying to save you some time. Like you just want to go to Pickles in and of itself because it's still an awesome situation. But today through tomorrow. Now, if tonight's washed out, weather forecast doesn't clear up until when on Wednesday? Because remember, there's a day game Thursday.
Yeah, Wednesday's
12:35.
Tomorrow's 95%. Thursday's 80%. Friday's 60%.
Right. So I guess my point is Minnesota's only here once.
All right.
Like Toronto's coming back because that game got rained out a couple weeks ago. You'd have to make a special trip to get the Twins here again. And I don't know if tonight's washed. Can they play a doubleheader tomorrow? Because Minnesota probably wants no parts of that on Thursday because it's getaway day
right
for them.
I don't know. Well, Bob, the only thing is if it rains all day today, tonight, I mean, the outfield's going to be soaked.
Yeah, the drainage system helps, but still,
yeah,
it will not be ideal baseball conditions. But the Orioles are coming off, taking 2 out of 3 from the Angels. Yes, they're still in last place. Yes, they have a ton of problems, as we've documented many times over the course of the first month and a half of the season. NFL schedule leakage coming out. I have yet to see anything Ravens related.
Nope.
We can try to connect dots. What did you say? Kansas City wants to play on Christmas?
Kansas City requested that they become like Detroit and Dallas on Thanksgiving.
So they're cool with, because they traveled last year.
Yeah,
They're hosting Denver this year.
Yep.
Because Kansas or Dallas and Detroit, they're the home game, guaranteed. Now the Ravens won't play Detroit on Thanksgiving because the Lions come here. Now they could play, say, Buffalo
Thursday night
on Thanksgiving.
I think that would be a interesting. That'd be pretty interesting game.
Because I'm going to guess, even if the Ravens play Christmas, they're not going on the road after two straight road games.
You wouldn't think.
Maybe they host Cincinnati because it's a Thursday night game where they played the Bengals last couple of years. Always fun and exciting. We shall see.
Yeah, I mean, the Ravens, Pittsburgh, the four teams that got home. Remember they had the three games in, what, 9 days or whatever?
It was Kansas City, Baltimore, Houston, and
Pittsburgh, wasn't it?
Yeah, Pittsburgh. Kansas City, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Houston.
Yeah.
All right, let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. Dallas gets the number one pick in the NBA draft. 1.8%. Nah. Nolan, real quick before we get to the phone. NBA draft picks, yes or no?
Oh, this year, for sure.
All right, let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, what's up?
Good morning, Bob and Vinny, on this rainy Tuesday, man.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all talking about the schedule and everything, man. I see how the NFL tried to do with the Cowboys, you know, opening up in Philly and opening night, man, you know. I think the league did that to be smart, you know, so the Cowboys can watch Philly raise their Super Bowl banner, you know, show off their rings and everything. And hopefully they hope the Cowboys, you know, get beat down on national TV.
No, they want
good possibility that could happen.
Right, yeah. But there's going to be a ton of people watching because of the Cowboys.
Yeah, Philly could be playing like the or the 105.7 The Fan All-Stars and 10 million, 20 million people watch it.
But, you know, hopefully, you know, Dak is 100%, you know, and CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens being on the same page and everything, you know, showcase this new offense with our new running back out of Texas. Was it Jadon Blue? I'm pronouncing his name right. You know, that guy we got, man. But we shall see.
What do you mean we?
Hey, I mean, they see.
Correct. You
know, hopefully they do good.
We,
you
know, we's the Ravens from now. Come on, Rashawn. We're the Ravens. They're the
Cowboys.
The Ravens,
right.
Yeah, right. We all have a second favorite team. Dallas is now your second favorite team.
Right. Hey, Bob, last week I called, right? I don't know if Vinny was in there, and I asked you, out of all teams that was down 0-2 between the Cavaliers and the Celtics, who had a better chance of coming back?
That's when Ryan was here.
Oh, that was Ryan. Yeah, yeah. I know I went with the – I said the Celtics. You said the Cavaliers.
Yeah,
but
we're both wrong. Because Donovan Mitchell's hurt. Now it looks like Jason Tatum might not be playing until next Christmas. So, they're both get ready for Indiana, New York, and the Eastern Conference Finals, baby.
I don't know, Bob. Don't write off the Celtics yet, man. They got a deep bench, man. You know, with Pritchett coming off the bench and everything. And
Tatum had, maybe, 42 last night?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did, you know. But they got a lot, you know, the Celtics can they got like 8 different starting lineups they can put together. So a lot of people went to step up to the plate.
But every one of them included Tatum.
They're down 3-1.
Yeah, I just don't believe in the Knicks, man. They a fraud, man. They just a fraud. I don't like them Knicks, man.
But hey, they're up 3-1. They've been great on the road in the playoffs too. Now it goes back to Boston, and they're up what, 3-1? I think the Celtics are toast, and so are the Cavs.
Yeah. But do we really want to see a Pacers and Knicks Eastern Conference Finals, man? This is not the 90s with Ewing and Reggie Miller.
Yeah, you know? And they were always great series, too. Mm-hmm. By the way, I don't control the NBA playoffs, Rashawn. If I had controlled the NBA, the Wizards would be getting a number one pick in the draft. But tonight, Oklahoma City, Denver, that's going to be an epic game.
Oh, yes, it
epic.
Is. Yes,
winner
it is.
Of this game tonight's going to win the series.
I believe so. And Cleveland's probably win the championship. Yep.
Yeah, Cleveland's done.
All right, well, I'll holler at you, Bob. Hopefully get the game in tonight.
Yeah, go get your Ravens jersey. Burn your Cowboy stuff.
I'm ready.
It's over. It's over, man. It's over, Johnny. Here's Rashawn. We'll come back, reset the program for you. Orioles off to, well, they were off yesterday. Supposed to go three-game series with the red-hot Minnesota Twins, have won three in, or eight in a row, including three in a row against the Orioles last week out in Minnesota. So can the Orioles get themselves together? Cade Povich came from the Twins, 1-3, .555. We're going to grade Orioles when we come back. We're not going to get to him per se yet, but if I'm grading Cade Povich, he could C-. Hits a lot of bats. But Ryan O'Hearn's video at 81057 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. Beastie Boys, anything you want to hear loud, we'll crank it up for you. Send your request, Plaza Sports text line at 410-583-1057. Grading Orioles on the eve of their 40th game of the season, sitting at 15-24. Ryan O'Hearn, 30 games in, .303 batting average, .950 OPS, 7 homers, 14 ribbies, 4 doubles. And if we grade Ryan O'Hearn, if you want to incorporate defense too, outfield-wise, all right. Okay. But overall, in a year in which it's been filled with negatives, looking for some positives, Vinny, Ryan O'Hearn gets a...
I'm going to give him a B-plus, Bob. And I'm just... He was brought here to be a batter, you know, a hitter. So... In the field, do what you do. Know you're not going to be great. What he's doing offensively, I give him a B plus.
I'm going to go into the A's, and I'm going to go with an A because I don't know what else he could possibly be doing better if we're talking offensive numbers here. You know, last year I was a little surprised to almost see this in hindsight, but he appeared in 142 games last year, which is crazy to think about because he was supposed to platoon with Mountcastle. Mountcastle missed a good bit of time, but still... 142 out of 162, I would not have guessed that. He's been very good since he's been here, and this year, depending on how many games he ends up playing, he could shatter the numbers that he's had the last couple of years with the Orioles, at least in terms of power in RBIs, extra base hits, and that stuff. I mean, 7 home runs already this year, 15 last year was his high watermark. He's going to blow right past that. So you mentioned the defense. Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, he's okay at first base.
Oh, yeah. But don't like him in the outfield, but that's the problem. We're going to get to Mountcastle here in a second. He's heating up, so you want to get both their bats in the lineup. You kind of have to bite the bullet unless you DH one of them.
Yeah, and I'm thinking DHing O'Hearn against righties is probably the prudent thing to do. But I'm giving him an A- because you do have to incorporate the entirety of the game. But... he was a godsend to the team 2 years ago in 23. Like everyone else in the lineup, he got cold in the second half as the Orioles were lighting up the scoreboard in the first half of 24. But he's been great on a team that's been offensively challenged. He has risen up to the challenge, but definitely more adept at first than in right field. And he's played left field before. I mean, you appreciate the fact that, like Rafael Devers would tell you, go bleep yourself if you asked him to do what Ryan O'Hearn's doing for the Orioles. But strong A- for Ryan O'Hearn.
Right. And now the Orioles haven't had a ton of clutch moments this year, obviously, with all the losing. But I thought one of the great things about him when he got here in 23 is Hyde would just pull him off the bench in the eighth or ninth inning, and there's a good shot he was going yard.
Or he was hitting game-tying, game-winning home runs. He was doing all sorts of great things.
When they lose Anthony Santander, one of the unsung things about Santander that I think the Orioles are missing a lot is that the timeliness of his hits. I mean, how many times did Santander come through with the game-tying or the go-ahead home run late in his Orioles tenure? I feel like they're missing that. O'Hearn could supplement that.
Yeah, your grand slams in the eighth, ninth inning, they're clutch, especially when they impact the game, which is Tony Taters was doing. So we're all thumbs up big time, Ryan O'Hearn, and rightfully so. Ryan Mountcastle, .227, .263 on base percentage, slugging percentage .599, 8 doubles, 2 homers, 13 ribbies. He did come through Sunday when he was, they intentionally walked Tyler O'Neill. Angels did to get to him, and he came through Oppa. And as Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, said, the wall moving in has domed him up maybe even more than the wall being back, because now he's trying to hit everything over the left field wall. When Ryan Mountcastle came up and set the rookie record for homers with 33. More than Eddie, more than Cal, more than anybody that's ever worn an Orioles uniform. He was hitting homers to all fields. Once he starts getting that go to right center, because he's got the power to do so, he'll be better off. 2023, got vertigo. Came back, got hot. Then hurt his shoulder. Last year had injuries. This year just been in a slump. But if we're grading Ryan Mountcastle on 38 games, we got to talk about again what's on the back of the baseball card.
Yeah, no doubt. 33 strikeouts, 6 walks. You know, I think he's a guy that over the last couple of years has improved his fielding tremendously. You know, being able to scoop
he's
and do.
He's a Gold Glove finalist, yeah, 2 years in a row.
Yeah, because prior to that, he wasn't great. I'm going to give him a C. I'll give him a C. I know he struggled at the bat. He's played great at first base. He's done better as of late, you know, but still had, 32 games prior to that.
Yeah, 599 as an OPS for a guy that hits in the middle of your lineup speaks volumes. What do you got there, quick draw?
I'm going C minus, and had it not been for this hot start to the month of May for him, I mean, he's batting over 300 here in May. Power, like you said, it's still not there, but he's giving you something, which compared to what he had been earlier this year, you'll take it. Again, the strikeouts are a concern, still about once per game, even in this good month that he's had. And you can live with that if he's giving you the home runs, but he's not. So that's kind of a detriment. But I would say overall, trending up at this point in the season, so I'll go C minus.
Yeah, I'll give him C minus as well. Defense brings him up from a D.
Yep.
Because offensively, he's been D minus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he's starting to trend up over, as you said, Nolan, over 300 here in May as we're halfway through the month. So maybe trending in a positive direction. And who knows what his future holds in Baltimore? He's a free agent after next season. Coby Mayo is still waiting to find a spot here in Baltimore if he finds one at all. But Ryan Mountcastle, if the Orioles are going to reach what they need to reach or want to reach, which is the playoffs and beyond, he's got to help them do that. And right now, we're not really seeing much of that. So I'll give you a C minus because of that glove of yours, Ryan Mountcastle. We'll come back, grade some more. You want to hand out some grades 39 games into the season? Feel free to do so at 410-583-1057. Kevin Ostreicher, USA Today, The Ravens Wire. Talk about the schedule. Official announcement release coming out tomorrow. A lot of leakage, but no Ravens yet.
They leak it when they want to leak it. I think, Bob, the leaks that are coming today, Christmas and Thanksgiving, the other, you know, the two games that haven't been announced
yet. I'm seeing either Christmas afternoon or Thanksgiving night. Could be wrong.
I think Thanksgiving night.
We usually are. Tyler O'Neill, 208 batting average, 298 on base percentage, OPS 659er, 2 homers. Then he hit one on opening day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's homered in like 5 straight opening days. 3 doubles, a triple. Doesn't look all that great defensively in right field. Remember, was brought in to be an upgrade over Anthony Santander, both offensively and defensively. And Tony Taters was a Gold Glove finalist himself 5 years ago during the COVID season. But he's coming off of 44-100. You know, if they would have listened to me, Mike Elias, and offered him 3-for-60 back in February of 24, he'd be playing right field for the Orioles today. But you did. It's another story altogether. But Tyler O'Neill seems like a nice guy and is a proven major league player. But as we've talked about, Rich Dubroff brought up yesterday, and we'll talk to Rockabacco from Masson about this later, in his career, which started back in 2018, he's been on the IL 15 times. So, as we grade Tyler O'Neill, because we get graded here, what do you think?
D minus. And the biggest reason, Bob, I mean, can't stay healthy. You know, that's the biggest thing. You know, I mean, he's played in 21 games. Strikes out a lot. What does he really bring? You know, I mean, you can't count on him. That's the problem. Can't count on
big
him.
Big arm.
Okay. That's nice.
But when he's running around hockey corners like he was against the Angels on Sunday, that's, you know.
You need a big arm.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think, Aaron Nolan?
Right. And remember earlier this year, there was the whole base running fiasco for him. Might have been one of the first series of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Where he just, again, you know, not paying attention.
Even Hyder was kind of like, we got to do better than this.
Right. And look, as the season has progressed, there's been a lot of guys who have had uncharacteristic blunders or unacceptable blunders, you know, like Heston Kerstad not running out of ball to first base because lost track of how many outs there were. I mean, it's just stuff like that that's not acceptable. And when you're not playing particularly well, you're not hitting well, you're not fielding well, or you're at least not putting yourself in positions to utilize your strong arm, well, then that stuff, it makes it even worse. So I'm with you. I mean, it's teetering on F, at least in terms of what he was expected to come in here and provide you. If we're talking strictly replacing Santander, then yeah, it is an F. If you wanted to lighten the load a little bit and say that, well, he was always going to be a platoon guy, it's still not good. It's still a D minus.
Yeah, I'm going D minus as well. Mm-hmm. And I think he was supposed to be way more.
No. Oh, absolutely.
He's getting like $60 million, whatever it is. And if he plays well, he can opt out after the year. But the way he's going right now, I don't see
that.
I'm going to
opt in.
Yeah, I don't think, can I get more? But Tyler O'Neill, I mean, the upside's there. I mean, 31 homers last year. He had 30-plus in St. Louis. Two gold gloves, now becoming more and more part of your rearview mirror. But D-minus for sure, because he was brought in to be an integral part of an offense that right now, quite frankly, offensive. A lot of times. Here's a tough one. Cedric Mullins. On the whole, 229, 340 on base percentage, 775 OPS, six doubles, seven bombs, 21 ribbies, six steals. I mean, his K rate's, you know, up there for sure, but really good March. Granted, not a big sample size there. Acceptable April, where he had 260 with an 880 OPS. But so far, 34 at-bats in May, bad.
Yeah.
088 with a 294 OPS. So, we're looking at the totality of the situation, not just a week of hot or a week of cold. Cedric Mullins grades how through 39 games?
This is an interesting one because defensively, he's made some spectacular plays. You know, diving, catching, stealing home runs, doing all that. And, you know, he's the one that started them. I mean, for the games that they won early on, I mean, he was responsible. And like you said, I mean, he just broke a, what, 1-for-35, something like that?
It was an 0-for-20, I believe.
Yeah,
he was 1-for-30 in the month.
I'm going to give him a B, strong B.
Right, I'm in that same territory. I might even say B-plus just because I think even with this recent slump at the plate, still the Orioles' most complete all-around player. The defense, obviously, that's strong suit. Batting early on was great, slumping as of late, but even base running. One of your best candidates right now to steal a base, even though they said that they were going to take off and run more this year, it really hasn't come to fruition outside of Cedric Mullins. Mateo's just not playing or hitting enough to have his speed be a factor, so he's kind of your lone threat on the base paths as well. Even with the recent struggles, I think it's still got to be a B-plus for me.
I'm going B. Strong B, but B nonetheless. What he's doing well, he's hitting lefties.
Mm-hmm.
278, OPS 922. So I don't want to hear any... No, the Orioles as a team don't really do well against left-handers, and they brought in Sanchez, Laureano, O'Neill to kind of remedy a problem from last year. But Mullins does his job. And he does it against lefties, smaller sample size for sure. So, I mean, if they play tonight, Woods Richardson is a righty, so he'll definitely be in the lineup. But Cedric should get every day at-bats. And I know Brandon High gives him the night off just for rest purposes, and I understand that. But Cedric Mullins, remember, he, as a switch hitter, couldn't hit from the right side. But now, gets it done. So Cedric Mullins, we'll give him a B. And I think that's fair. If you disagree, agree, feel free to get in. 410-583-1057. Send your agree or disagree text to the Plaza Port text line. Same number. We'll come back. Kevin Ostreicher, USA Today. NFL schedule officially out tomorrow. The Europe games in Spain or whatever the hell they're playing. Ravens aren't in it. Vikings twice, however, which is kind of weird. But anyway, we'll get into all of that. We're speculating it's going to be either Thursday night at Buffalo, or I am anyway, mm-hmm. or Christmas Day at home against, say, the Bengals or somebody like that.
I agree with you totally.
You know what
because
I mean?
Because the Bengals, I mean, two epic games last year, and it's an offensive shootout, and on the holidays, it's what people want to see.
Right, and Aaron Rodgers hasn't signed with the Steelers yet, so you can't use that as like a marquee matchup.
From what I was reading, Bob, it sounds like, you know, because all the flack that Aaron got for skipping OTA, you know, missing some OTAs and stuff, and he, from what I've read, that instead of having all the hoopla around all that, hey, I'll be there at mandatory minicamp. You can count on me for them. That's kind of what I read.
So we'll follow that along, but the schedule comes out tomorrow. How does this impact possibly what the NFL is going to do in regards to how many games? Well, the Steelers get a lot of primetime games because they're, you know, it's a national brand, and we get all of that. So got that coming your way. Whip around 11:15. Dallas gets the number one pick in the NBA draft. 1.8% chance of doing so, and they get it. They'll get Cooper flagged. Wizards get the sixth pick, and, you know, Derek Queen probably going to be sitting there right for the taking if, in fact, that's what Washington would want to do. But it's the whip around. Talk about that Caps. Come on.
Awful.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Down 3-1. Chris Boombaka, talk NFL with him and everything going on in the league. Rockabacco, 12:30. And Patrick Royce, we'll preview the Twins with him. He's from the Minnesota Star Tribune. Minneapolis Star Tribune, excuse me. Yeah. And the Twins won 8 in a row. Rocco Baldelli 2 weeks ago was on the hot seat. Yeah. Guys like Nolan wanted to fire him. Now he's going to get manager of the year.
They don't want the rain.
Huh?
They don't want the rain. They want to play.
Yeah, they might be good in the rain.